sharanandana bhaja janaranjana yashodanandana bhaja janaranjana Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada ki jai. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Verse 54. I get allergies really bad. Verse 54. Agni, Suryo, Diva, Pranaha, Shuklo, Raktotaram, Svarat, Vishvo, Ta, Tejasaha, Pragnyas, Turya Atma, Samanvayat, Agni Suryo Diva Prana, Agni Suryo Diva Prana, Shuklo Rakotaram Svarat, Shuklo Rakotaram Svarat, Vishvota Tejasa Pragnyas, Vishvota Tejasa Pragnyas, Turyatma Samavan Samanva, Turyatma Samanvayat, Turyatma Samanvayat, Agni Suryo Diva Prana, Shuklo Rakotaram Svarat, Vishvota Taijasa Pragnyas, Turyo Atma Saman Vayat. Ladies,
Agni Suryo Diva Prana,
Agni, fire. Surya, sun. Diva, day. Pranaha, the end of the day. Shukla, the bright fortnight of the moon. Raka, the full moon at the end of the Shukla Paksha. Uttaram, the period when the sun passes to the north. Swarat, the Supreme Brahman. O Lord Brahma. Vishva, gross designation. Atta, Brahmaloka, the ultimate in material enjoyment. Tejasa, subtle designation. Prajna, the witness in the causal designation. Turyaha, transcendental. Atma, the soul. Samanvayat, as a natural consequence. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. On his path of ascent, the progressive living entity enters the different worlds of fire, the sun, the day, the end of the day, the bright fortnight, the full moon, and the passing of the sun in the north, along with their presiding demigods. When he enters Brahmaloka, he enjoys life for many millions of years, and finally his material designation comes to an end. He then comes to his subtle designation, from which he attains the causal designation, witnessing all previous states. Upon the annihilation of this causal state, he attains his pure state, in which he identifies with the Supersoul. In this way, the living entity becomes transcendental. It's a very clear translation, isn't it? We all understand that easily, don't we? So please repeat. On his path of ascent, the progressive living entity enters the different worlds of fire, the sun, the day, the end of the day, the bright fortnight, the full moon, and the passing of the sun in the north, along with their presiding demigods. When he enters Brahmaloka, he enjoys life for many millions of years. And finally, his material designation comes to an end. He then comes to a subtle designation, from which he attains the causal designation, witnessing all previous states. Upon annihilation of this causal state, he attains his pure state, in which he identifies with the Supersoul. In this way, the living entity becomes transcendental. So there's no purport to this verse, but it's an interesting one. So before starting, I'm going to offer my respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of my Gurudev. Namah Vishvapadaya Krishna Pishaya Bhutale Shimati Tamal Krishna Goswami Dinamine. Namah Om Vishvapadaya Krishna Pishaya Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamine. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nimeshe Satsunavari Pashkata Dijataine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Om Agyanati Vendasya Agyanangana Shalaka Chakshur Unmitam Yena Tasme Shigurve Namaha Mukham Kavati Vacharam Pangum Nagati Kirim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shigurum Dinatrayanam. So, this is the last chapter of the seventh canto. And each verse is a condensed explanation of different activities, processes, religious systems. It's quite complicated. Now, before we come to the part where we are, the Bhagavatam is telling us of what is called the Pitriyana, which means, well, in the beginning it starts with, just going back a little bit, at the beginning of this chapter it starts with how to honor the Brahmanas, for instance. How even if somebody is rich, the person should not offer invite more than two or three Brahmanas. That was interesting, and I was wondering, why is that? Because then Prabhupada explains in the purport, because there could be discrepancies in honoring. If there's too many, it could take time before you come to number 50, to worship them, to honor them, to offer service to them. So like that, all the verses, they are condensed explanations of different religious systems, really. So before we come to this set of verses where we are right now, it talks about the living entity ascending. So first, this is the verse that we just read. It forms part of Devayana. Before that, there's Pitriyana, meaning the living entity, through austerities, goes up to the moon planet, where he enjoys for many lifetimes, for many, many years, not lifetime, sorry. And then the body starts to dwindle. And then when rain falls, a living entity comes back again in the form of grass, eaten by animals, and again injected into a body. Like that, the whole cycle starts again. So that's a living entity who is just interested in a comfortable situation, enjoyment. So this verse where we are right now, starting from verse 52, it talks about the purification of the higher class, one who is maybe not just interested in sense enjoyment, going up to the moon and coming back again, taking birth again, going through a whole process. So we learn of the purification of the higher class, the brahmanas, beginning from the garbhadan sanskar to the death rituals. It's very technical. It's based on strictly following rituals. It's based on controlling the senses, the mind, and one's actions, which are offered as sacrifice. Like the verse just before that is talking about merging the mind, the senses, the speech. Basically, it's talking about controlling oneself and offering our voice, our action, our thoughts, anything that we do, our whole self, as sacrifice. It doesn't have anything to do with spiritual relationship with Krishna. Not really, not yet. So this verse where we are right now is verse 54. It tells us, this one tells us of different stages one goes through when ascending. So after the jiva does sacrifice as it should be done, austerity as it should be done, then what happens? The jiva goes to different worlds. The world of fire, the world of the sun, the day, the end of the day, the bright fortnight, the full moon, the passing of the sun in the north. That's an interesting one. When we read Mahabharata and we hear of Bhishma is passing away. So the battle of Kurukshetra took place around December. We all know that. Gita Jayanti is in December. And when Bhishma fell down, he was laying on the bed of arrows, which we all know. And he also could leave his body at will. We also know that. A benediction given by his father, who absolutely wanted to marry Satyavati, but there were conditions attached. And because Bhishma took this terrible vow, which was unheard of, that's why his name is Bhishma, one who takes a terrible vow, his father gave him the benediction, you can leave any time you want. So he was laying on the bed of arrows and he said, I'm not going to leave my body now. I will leave my body when the sun travels north. So we all know also, around the 22nd or something of December, it's equinox, where the day and the night are equal. It happens twice a year, there's equinox. And then right after that, the next day, the sun changes course. It starts to travel in the north. And it seems like the jiva waits for this period when the sun travels to the north before ascending to Brahma Loka, where it is said he enjoys for many millions of years. So he's not looking for any relationship with Krishna here. He's just looking for self-realization, perfection. And finally, it is said, his material designation comes to an end. So what does that mean, really? So after enjoying for millions of years, he comes to the realization, this body, physical body, I am not. And that's when he comes to the realization that I am also made up of subtle mind, intelligence, and ego, which is what it is said in the verse. Then he comes to the subtle designation that he understands that he doesn't need the gross body to interact. We all have some kind of experience of that. When we sleep at night, we dream. Sometimes whatever we're dreaming seems so real, we think we forget that we have actually a gross body sleeping on the bed. So we have experience of that. So the jiva then, which means after giving up this gross body, he attains this subtle realization, this subtle form where he understands, I also exist on the subtle platform. But still, it is made up of matter. That's why then he comes to a more subtle designation, which is the causal designation. So what I will do, because it had no purport, I went to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Sarata Darshini, where I'm going to quote the purport there that was translated by Banu Swami, actually. So after he enjoys on Brahma Loka, his method of liberation is described. So he enjoys, he goes to Brahma Loka just to enjoy. All these austerities were meant to enjoy on Brahma Loka. So he comes to that understanding after his enjoyment is over. I get rid of a gross body. And then he merges. Then he is with his subtle body. Then he merges his subtle covering into the very subtle covering called karana, causal. That causal understanding, covering, this is what is producing our bodies. It is based on sanskaras, impressions that we gather through lifetimes of living here. And at some time, something from the past, some desires, now it is ripe, that we all know, in seed form, growing, comes to the form where it bears fruit. Now it is ready, and the desire appears in our mind, and this is what's going to give us a body, a subtle body and a gross body. But when the jiva is in Brahma Loka, he first of all gets rid of his gross body, his subtle body, then he sees that which causes his different states. And he also gets rid of that causal state. And then what is left, which means he understands at this point, he's non-different from the Supersoul in terms of Sat-Chit-Ananda. So as he understands, I am Atma, Atma doesn't cause anything, is not caused by anything, and will not produce anything, has nothing to do with this physical world of action and reaction. He sees that very clearly. That's when he gives up gross body, subtle body, causal state. And with the destruction of all the transitory objects witnessed, only the pure Atma remains. And thus, he is liberated. It's a very complicated process, as we can all understand from this verse. So I will go to the next verse because it explains this verse also. Devayanam idam prahur bhutva bhutva nupur vashaha atma yajupa shantatma yatma shto na nivartate. This gradual process of elevation for self-realization is meant for those who are truly aware of the absolute truth. So we just read in the previous verse. That was the gradual process of self-realization. To be able to do that, we have to really palpably understand there is something called the absolute truth. We have some kind of idea, perception of that other eternal world. And so, continuing the translation, after repeated birth and on this path, which is known as Devayana, one attains these consecutive stages. So what does that mean? It means all these different worlds that have been explained, passing through the worlds of fire, the world of the sun, the day, the end of the day. It means each world that the jiva passes through, he takes birth, he dies. He takes birth, he dies. Then he passes through the next stage and the next stage, which means it's a lot of birth and death. So after repeated birth and death, continuing the purport, the translation of 55, repeated birth on this path, which is known as Devayana, one attains these consecutive stages. One who is completely free from all material desires, being situated in the self, need not traverse the path of repeated birth and death. It means if someone doesn't want that enjoyment that we get on Brahmaloka for millions of years, we do not have to go through all that for self-realization. So I'm going to read the next verse, which has a small purport. Verse 56. Ya ete pitri devanam ayane veda nirmite shashrena chakshusha veda janashtopi namuyate. Even though situated in a material body, one who is fully aware of the path known as Pitriyana and Devayana, and who thus opens his eyes in terms of Vedic knowledge, is never bewildered in this material world. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Acharyavan Purusho Veda, one who is guided by the bona fide spiritual master, knows everything as stated in the Vedas, which set forth the standard of infallible knowledge. As recommended in Bhagavad Gita, Acharyopasanam, one must approach the Acharya for real knowledge. Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva bigajet. One must approach the Acharya, for then one will receive perfect knowledge. When guided by the spiritual master, one attains the ultimate goal of life. That's a very comforting purport, meaning that self-realization that is described in the previous verses, we do not have to go through that. Now, it's an interesting description also. When Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, among thousands, hardly one will seek perfection. So what are we talking about right now? These verses. It is showing the path to perfection. Perfection, whether it is merging into Brahman, realizing Paramatma, or knowing Bhagavan, perfection means that we uncover our spiritual self. We understand we are at least sat, like the Brahman, those who want to merge in Brahman. That's what they realize. We are at least eternal. So amongst thousands. So which thousands is he talking about? He says, four kinds of people come to me. The distressed, the curious, the one in search of money or material comfort, and the one who wants knowledge. And Prabhupada mentions in one lecture, we heard a few days ago, that the impious will never come to God, even when they have these four problems. They have these four mysteries that they need solving. They will never come to God. So only the pious will come to God. So four kinds of people come to Krishna. And he's saying somewhere else, out of thousands, so thousands of whom? Of those who come to Krishna for these four reasons. So now we're all sitting here. How many of us came with the idea, I want perfection? I want perfection to realize myself. Like what is described here. I'm going to ascend to Brahmaloka. I will understand I am Atma. How many did we honestly came because of those reasons? We all came because of one of the four, or in combination of the four reasons, which are very selfish reasons, actually. It's about I, me, and mine. Even that jiva who is looking for perfection and ascending to Brahmaloka, what is he looking for? Enjoyment. Millions of years of enjoyment is again about I, me, and mine. So now we understand what Krishna is saying. Among thousands, hardly one will seek perfection. Hardly. If we are honest, yeah, are we really seeking perfection? Hardly. Among thousands of perfected beings, those who are described here right now, who are able to get rid of the gross covering, subtle covering, causal state, among thousands of those kind of jivas, hardly one will know me in truth. Where are we? So now we ask this question. Why am I here? Why did I come? It's all right to come. Akama sarva kamova, moksha karma udardi, tivena bhakti yogina. Whatever reason we come, it's all right. We come to Krishna. But at one point, it has to move somewhere else. Otherwise, we come into Krishna for our own selfish reasons. We do not, for instance, come to a temple, Krishna temple, to pray. What does pray mean? Give me, give me, give me. We come to worship. We come to offer prayers. That's what it means. We come to offer prayers. So rituals are so embedded in us that when we come to Krishna, whatever activities that are shown that we do as devotional practice, it has the danger to turn into rituals. Just automatic rituals. Hardly one knows me in truth. Do we want to know Krishna? Or not so much? Because knowing Krishna is also dangerous. If we are sincere, if you really want to know Krishna, and we are working towards that, what does he say? When I'm especially disposed towards someone, I give the person trouble. And like that, the person starts to get rid of everything that weighs him down in this physical world, this material world. So do we really want to know Krishna? Or should we just have a comfortable life here, a little bit of devotional practice, a little bit of festival here and there, chanting Hare Krishna, coming to Mangalarati, all Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, which is not wrong. But on that platform, we will never have a relationship with Krishna. So it comes back to the same basics right now. What do I want? Do I want a comfortable situation? Good house, comfortable workplace, nice family, devotee, and then I die, I take birth again, I go on like that, birth after birth, in a comfortable situation. Sorry, too much sitting down. So what do we want? If we want Krishna, then something has to develop to change in the heart. There's one lecture that Prabhupada gave that is very famous. When we became pujari, I remember that was in the 1980s, the temple president had this lecture transcribed and we all had to almost learn that lecture by heart. It was called Shivigraha and Galagraha. And Prabhupada was saying, the deities, they're Krishna himself. Not representation, not incarnation, not form. They are directly Krishna. He said, we have to develop feelings, because otherwise, when I'm dead and gone, you will think, this old man has given me a burden. He said, when we serve the deities, we have to want to develop this mentality. This is Krishna himself. He also said, we can do whatever we want with the deities. Also, we can do whatever we want. He will not protest. In the lecture, you hear very well Prabhupada saying, he will not protest. Krishna will not protest. And then his voice goes deep. But your life will be finished. I remember at that time in the 80s, when one time we were doing deity worship. So before the curtain opens for the morning arti, the greetings, everything is really fast. You know, you're intense under pressure because you have to open at 7:15. Prabhupada also said, in this Kali Yuga, because we do not have devotion, the opulence is punctuality and cleanliness. Really clean. Our floors have to be so clean that we can eat off it. That clean. So that is our efforts, our devotion. Even if we don't believe in it, we will do it. So at 7:15, the curtain has to open. But before, I don't know how it is here, but in our temple at that time, before the curtain opens, we do a very short arti with incense and fruits. Incense, flowers, and fruits. And the fruit, because the backup devotees are also really under pressure. You have to put the jewels away, you have to put the clothes away, and the pujaris on the altar, they have to clear the altar, put everything back in place. It has to go really fast. And so the fruit that they cut, it's a very easy one. So on the farm in Mauritius, we used to have these creepers, grenadilla, passion fruit. Tons of them. So it was easy. You just cut into, you scoop out. Can the kids get whatever they want? And this is very disturbing, the in and out. Are you done? Okay. So they would just cut the passion fruit, scoop it out, and put it in a bowl. So one time when I was dressing, take the bowl, put on the altar, say the mantra. Then it comes time to take out the offering. There's only a few minutes left before the curtain opens. And the bowl goes flying. Now the altar is, if it's marble or tiles, it's very sticky. Passion fruit seeds are super sticky. When it goes flying, it's everywhere, and now you have to clean it. And the devotee who was with me, she said, Krishna does not want this fruit. I said, why? It went down with every single pujari. I was the last one where it went down. And we could understand he doesn't want it. It was sour. When it's offered, taken off the altar, it would sit there in the corner. Nobody would eat it, and then it would be thrown away. He did not want this fruit. So he is real. So we understand that. Even in theory, we have to believe. So when we want to understand Krishna, that's the beginning of the relationship. Because understanding how rare it is to be a devotee of Krishna, we have to awaken. Prabhupada in my lecture says, we, the spirit soul, we are very powerful, perceptive, but we are being suppressed. The word he uses is suppressed by this dull matter, which is the body. It makes us lazy. Advancement in spiritual life means at every moment there's a challenge in the sense of, where is Krishna in all this? Where is Krishna in all this? That is Krishna conscious. It is not that easy. Gorkhisrodas Babaji told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that in all this universe, a Vaishnava is hardly to be seen. Hardly to be seen in this whole universe. He says an assembly of Vaishnava simply does not exist except in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can understand Bhagavatam is Amala Puran. Yeah? Bhagavatam arose brilliant as the sun after the departure of Lord Krishna. Bhagavatam is the light in this Kali Yuga. But Bhagavatam also explains the different ways of self-realization. We can see from this section we are in right now, how to self-realize is actually so impossible almost. That was the time when people lived for 100,000 years. They could meditate, find Paramatma, observe Paramatma, ascend to all the chakras, to the Brahmarandra. It was a whole process. We cannot even begin to think what it is. It's been given to us, though, in this Kali Yuga, the self-realization, the process of self-realization has been given to us in a very simplified form, chanting Hare Krishna. But how simple is it, really? Prabhupada said, you can see Krishna face to face, even in this lifetime. When do we become a pure devotee? Prabhupada was asked. Immediately he said, depending on the mindset. As long as we are hanging on to whatever it is, Prabhupada says, a pinch of material desire, we will have to come back. This chanting process, when we understand it, even the first part, Chetodha Paramarjanam, cleaning the mirror of the heart, the mirror from dust accumulated, what are the dust? Sanskaras, impressions that we have gathered through lifetimes, through this lifetime. And that is what causes that causal state that we have to get rid of. After the gross or subtle body, the causal state, all these impressions. So chanting Hare Krishna can do that. We have just to believe in it and sincerely try. On our level, what we try is we try to hear the mantra. Prabhupada, in one purport of the Bhagavatam, he says, one should chant Hare Krishna in pranayam. What does it mean in pranayam? This is also very interesting. So if we try, we've tried, sitting with the chakras aligned, deep breath, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the mind doesn't go anywhere. Funny. After a deep breath and we chant Hare Krishna, it completely focuses the mind between the ears and the mouth. There is also some kind of technique, some kind of effort we have to put when we chant Hare Krishna. It's not just something we come together for enjoyment in kirtan or some ritual that we do for our own happiness. It will come, but after a while, we're not thinking of our happiness. We're thinking of that relationship we want to have with Krishna, hopefully. There's one lecture on C.C. Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada says, we should try to know Krishna. We should try to know him. He's the only one who says, and then there's this world where you go, you will never come back. Nowhere else. No one else says that. Comes back to the basics. What do we want? Do I want to go? Do I want to stay? It's completely, totally free will. So Prabhupada says we should try to know Krishna. And we should try to know Krishna from Krishna himself. Krishna talks about himself, where? In the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, he's not talking about the gopis or his intimate relationship. He's talking about who he is. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, I'm the seed-giving father. From me, material worlds come, spiritual worlds come. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. And he says, we should try to know Krishna, and at the end, he says, if we are fortunate, if you ever listen to that lecture, you will hear Prabhupada makes a slight pause. And if your mind is running, you think Prabhupada is probably going to say, if we are fortunate, we become an associate of Krishna. But he doesn't say that. He said, at the end, if you are fortunate, then you surrender. His voice goes deep. Do we understand from which level surrender starts? from the level of knowing Krishna. Why should we want to love someone, surrender to someone that we do not know, we do not believe in? Or we're just coming to Krishna for rituals so that I can get what I want. Or we will get it. There's no problem in that. He'll give us whatever we want. Brahma Loka, whatever Loka we want. Our own planet. He will give us. But that relationship with Him, we hear from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, even in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan is far removed from all the other planets. Why? Because that relationship that Krishna has with His gopas, His gopis, Mother Yashoda, His parents, and everybody else, it is so devoid of formality, so based on spontaneous love, that He doesn't want this to get disturbed by anything, any awe and reverence that emanates from all the other planets. So what do we want? Who do we want? So we've, in this Kali Yuga that we are fortunate also because we have chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But one thing we have to remember, chanting Hare Krishna also waters weeds, big weeds. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about those weeds. Some of the weeds look the same as the Bhakti Lata. We will think it's a Bhakti Lata. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote a diary, Svalikita, which is sent to his son, Lalit Prasad. And there's one section there that is very, very interesting. He says, there's a subtle difference between aprakrita, meaning transcendental, and adhyatmika, meaning psychological. And he explains psychological as an emotional state affecting the mind, which means we hear of things happening that makes us sad, makes us happy, makes us curious, makes us whatever, whatever is going on in the world, creates situation in social situations, emotional situations, and this affects the mind. So psychological is an emotional state that affects the mind or that arises in the mind. Like I think it's Macbeth. I myself creating what I saw. Meaning mental speculation. You know, I imagine things. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the difference between transcendental and those two psychological states is so subtle, generally no one can grasp. Who is he talking about? Non-devotees, those who are not transcendentalists, are not interested in spiritual, in anything spiritual. They are not. So who is he talking about? About us. It is so subtle, our mental speculation, and spiritual revelation. The difference is so subtle that sometimes we cannot see the difference. He says, aprakrita, transcendental, has its basis in the absence of speculative knowledge. As we progress in our devotional practice, we start to understand layers that are subtle, subtle, very subtle. And when we recognize the faults in ourselves, it's a good thing. You have to be quiet. Yeah. The children do not make the choice of coming to class. You know, adults do. It's good if they can draw whatever. But it's good to discipline children, especially in the temple. Otherwise they'll grow up thinking it's a place where I enjoy, where I do whatever I want. Sorry. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we have to understand there is weeds that grow. For instance, all these Kirtan Melas that happen. Yeah. Now, because we travel quite a bit, there's a tendency a trend that is going on. All the young kids are learning how to sing. All the young kids are learning how to play instruments, which is not a bad thing. But the bad thing is how they're fighting to get on stage. They want to get on that stage. They could learn how to play instruments and do it for the pleasure of Krishna. When the temple is empty, what is the harm? Come and chant. Let's start to understand Krishna is real. I can come when the temple is empty and I practice. The sadhana of kirtan is practicing on my own. Every service has a sadhana. I come to the temple, I sing the songs of the acharyas, and I read the translation, and I sing for the pleasure of the deities. Sometimes somebody may join, somebody may not join. It doesn't matter. It is boring. We know that. But we try to rise above the modes, O Arjuna. That's what Krishna says. We try. It is all real. It's a real practice. So, when the weeds grow, if we are not careful, Jagannath Pandit says, we can chant Hare Krishna for countless of lifetimes and go nowhere. So in the beginning, we chant Hare Krishna no matter what, in whatever situation, even in jest, joke, when we do Harinam, people laugh at us or they insult us, whatever, it doesn't matter. That's the first contact with the mantra, who is Krishna himself. But after a while, Prabhupada says things are not static, they are ecstatic, means it moves. After a while, we have to decide, what is it I am looking for over here? What? And Krishna will direct us accordingly. That free will we do have, just like Krishna will not eat for us. Our guru cannot eat for us. We have to eat for us ourselves. That free will we have. Who do I want? What do I want? And that will determine my actions. So it is much simpler than learning to merge the senses into the mind, the voice, the whatever, you know, and everything into Omkar. And then getting rid of the gross body, subtle body, causal state. So chanting Hare Krishna is much simpler. But Prabhupada says it's not cheap. Easy, but not cheap. Chanting Hare Krishna, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the mantra on his own is Krishna. Because we have no taste, we need distraction of good voice, talent, melody, musical instruments, because we have no taste. And Saraswati Thakur used to put people who do not know how to sing in a temple. For festivals, of course, he had good singers. And I think most of us do know that when he was about to leave his body, he wasn't speaking at all. A few days before, he indicated he wanted somebody to sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. And Sridhar Swami, who had a very gruff voice, could not really keep the rhythm, did not know how to sing, basically. He started to sing because Saraswati Thakur indicated he should sing. As he started to sing, one of his godbrothers stopped him and had somebody else with a much more melodious voice start to sing. And Saraswati Thakur, he spoke. He said, "Why have you stopped?" And the godbrother replied, "Guru Maharaj, he sings much nicer." So Saraswati Thakur replied, "We're not looking for talent here." Actually, in Giriraj Swami's book about Mumbai, also he writes, Prabhupada came back from England. He was lying down. And Maharaj asked him if he wanted kirtan. Prabhupada said yes. And so they had the best kirtan, yeah, come and do kirtan. Prabhupada stopped him. And then Maharaj asked Prabhupada, was it disturbing Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, it was hammering in the brain. We do not understand purity, unless we are ourselves pure. Interesting also in the Sarata Darshini, it is said it is an offense to call anybody a pure devotee. Not that the person might not be a pure devotee. It's because when I call someone a pure devotee, it establishes myself as a pure devotee. Because unless I am an expert gemologist, I will not know the difference between cut glass and diamond. So there are so many subtle things for us to understand. There's 5 minutes left. If anybody would like to add something, comment, yes, Prabhu.
How to recognize the weeds? What is the way to recognize those weeds which are coming when we are chanting the holy name? How to recognize them and how to get rid of them? Please tell us a bit more.
I think we go back to Shikshashtakam. So, Chinarapi Sunichena is, we should be. Now, first, second verse, Nam Namakari. It says our state. That second verse of Shashtakam. How I am Durdevam, unfortunate. Even though Krishna, you have hundreds and thousands of names, I have no attraction for any one of them because I'm so unfortunate. I have no taste. But from that state of reality, I can chant helplessly Hare Krishna, because Chinadapi Sunichena means one should chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in a helpless state of mind. How do I cultivate a helpless state of mind? It's not something that I'm imagining. Oh, actually, I'm really great, but now I play helpless. No, I'm helpless because I know I have no taste. So when I start to chant Hare Krishna, things will follow. How these weeds, the main big ones, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Danam Janam Sundarim Kavita. We can see that. They come. Name, fame. Recently, I heard one statement from someone somewhere in the world. The Caitanyas are actually like stars. That is Danam Janam Sundarim, isn't it? Think about it. Are they like stars? So you see, it is so difficult to become servant. Proud? Arrogance? We are born with it. This is not a problem. We don't have to learn. But to learn to be servant, it's an impossible thing. And hearing that statement makes you cringe. You do not want to be that. Because Krishna, we cannot understand how he acts, what he's going to do. It is said, maybe Brahma, maybe Narada knows of Krishna's plan, but nobody knows of his intention. So we can recognize them when we see, I want my recognition. I want prime time, for instance. Or I want to do dressing because it's a festival day. Or I want that particular offering because of whoever's going to eat. We can know that when I want to self-establish myself. It is said we can get rid of everything except pratishtha, recognition. It's very, very, very hard. I can want recognition for my humility. That's why Krishna says humility, pridelessness. How to get rid? You know, it's like asking how to get rid of envy. I joined in 1981. I keep on hearing the question. Which means there's no one equation. We are all different. For every one of us, it will be a different contamination. It will be a different weed. It will be a different process. Krishna is real. The name is real. We pray. We try to chant Hare Krishna sincerely by hearing ourselves, hearing the syllable. That's how we start to get rid. I can only reply according to my realization. I hope it satisfies. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Anybody has something else? A last one? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the nice class. Mataji, you had I've heard in Srila Prabhupada's lectures that when we like chant sincerely without any offenses, we can understand our true relationship with Lord Krishna, our true Sarupa. So what does that mean? How does it look like to understand our true relationship with Lord Krishna?
One of the acharyas says, when Krishna comes to us, we won't even know. All we have to do is chant Hare Krishna sincerely. We cannot understand the absolute. All, if we try to understand the absolute, we will just speculate. Try to understand. Krishna has, in one of the verses, in the 10th canto, he has no back, no front, no inside, no outside. What do you see? No back, no front, no inside, no outside. Nothing. That's how bad it is. We do not understand. We have a back, we have a front, we have an inside, we have an outside, meaning we are limited. The limited cannot understand the unlimited. We have to do what we have to do. Then he comes to us, it's revealed. So our first reciprocation from Krishna is not that we are gopis or whatever. It's, I would like to chant good rounds. Because that's a relationship. On our level, our first relationship with Krishna is, I would like to do whatever devotional practice I'm doing in a way to please him sincerely with my best, the best ability that I have. And when I start to do that, what is the first revelation that I get? Who am I? 1/10,000 part, the tip of a hair. I don't realize my greatness. I realize my smallness. Once I start to understand that, then things follow. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he actually spent 90% of his time of his preaching saying, establishing what the absolute is not. When we understand what it's not, the 10% of what it is will follow automatically. That should be something that we read. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a book called The 10 Offenses Against the Chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Prakita Rasa Shata Dushani. 100 verses against of offenses against chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And they are very revealing. So we do not have to understand our relationship with the Absolute Truth. We just have to do our devotional practice sincerely. We stay because there is reciprocation, and that is very individual. Hare Krishna. I think we should stop here because it's 8:50 and they have to set up. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatavista kipasinamayucha patitanam pavanibhavu vashamibhu namunamaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
We would not ask the question unless we know it's there. And we know which one it is. So you already know which one it is.